What do you get when the sunrise bends over? What's up, good people? Welcome to another episode of the Concurrence Podcast. In this episode, I'll be your only host, and we'll be talking about mini apps, and specifically M-Pesa mini apps. And who better to talk to about mini apps than Michelle Mweni, a software developer at Safaricom.
Okay, so my name is Michelle Mweni. I'm a web developer by heart. Like, I love web development. So I tried my best to learn every other framework. It backfired on me, but I started with Angular. But the first time I'd say I went into, before I chose web development, I didn't even know. I was invited into the coding space by a friend of mine. He was like, you know, you should be coding. I was like, why? Why? And then be like, okay, let's do this. Let's do like 2 weeks where we code together. And then if you don't like it, those kind of people, you can go ahead and not. Just choose another field. I've always known I'd wanted to get into computer science and tech. Actually, it was tech from a very young age. And at a school ya kuchagua ile time watu kuchagua universities zenye watu mimi nilichagua IT nikachagua BBA IT nikachagua computer science computer tech as in I didn't leave room for at is doing niende kufanya anything else, so I didn't see myself doing anything else if it was not tech related. So a classmate of mine invites me and I'm like, okay, fine. Sawa, 2 weeks. So tukaanzanga tu kufanya hiyo kazi, but he introduced me to Python mostly. So I started with Python. So it was like, okay. So, you know, creating functions with Python can seem easy. So I'm like, this thing is not even hard. You know, hello world, you know, loops. You're like, this is great. It's working perfectly. But now, eventually now, it was, I moved towards visuals, what people are seeing more than logic. And that's because I found logic, I don't want to say boring. I normally get attacked. See? But I feel like it's the same process. We are connecting to a database. We are creating an API. We are creating a DNA. We are going to create a microservice. How do we create a microservice? It's the same way. The same way it goes. But you see, with UI and user experience, I can't design to save my life. I can't. Adobe, Figma.
Oh. Nah.
So I needed to find a way to get into that space. But I realized since I can actually write some code, why don't I try bringing to life the designs that are created? And I found it interesting because different designers have different way of designing. Projects require different UI applications or web applications. So with that, I got interested. So that's how I ended up with HTML, CSS, JavaScript. Then I started, okay, after this, what can I learn? There was Angular, it came, then Angular 2. Then there came a hype in React. And then I refused to learn. Like, I'm not doing React. Cannot be me. Why React? Then after React, there came Vue. I was like, these things are getting too much. But someone once told me, go depth before breadth. Basically, be good at what you do first. So if it's Angular, you'd rather know everything to do with Angular, then move now to the next. Then you know a bit of Angular, then a bit of React, then a bit of Vue. So with that in mind, that's what I used actually in most of my development. So I loved web. I continued on with Angular until I joined where I am right now, basically.
Where are you right
now? That's where it took a turn. So right now, when I joined Safaricom about a year and a half ago, I started doing I went into a team, and my direct line manager is an amazing guy. His name is Steve. He told me, okay, so here we use React. And ile React nilikuwa nakata, it came to life. I was like, oh yeah, you're sorted. Okay, nini, I mean Angular, nini. Kajitetea. But at the end of it, he was like, so, okay, great. But here we use React.
Can I?
So I'll need you to learn it.
Yeah, sure. So just for a bit of background, could you mm-hmm. and for our beloved international audience, so could you
yes.
tell us a bit about Safaricom, what Safaricom is, and where specifically you work at Safaricom, like what product you work on?
So at Safaricom is a telco. Safaricom is a telco within the Kenyan market, but it is growing in partnership with Vodafone, of course. It has been growing in other countries, but most its largest market share is within Nairobi. Okay, not Nairobi, Kenya. Yeah. Sorry, the HQs are in Nairobi. So, and that is where I'm based. So, it's telco. But within the telco, we have digital services, and our mission is to be a technology company by 2025. So that being said, we have divisions or departments within Safaricom, especially in the technology department, that are towards creating applications, creating both web application and mobile application for our users that basically help in transformation of lives, like we would say,
uh-huh.
and help us achieve our mission to becoming a technology first company by 2025. That being said, I'm within the technology department as a software engineer. We are very many software engineers. It has very many within software engineering now, we have back-end developers, we have front-end, there are people in cybersec, there are people in DevOps, but like you asked about me, so I'm in the front-end yeah. chapter, front-end engineering, like I said, in web. Within my time in Safaricom, I've worked with the Safaricom.com platform, which is the web application for Safaricom that has all these other functions. Within that, again, then I moved to where I am currently. Currently, I work with the mini apps team, mini applications or mini programs, as they be told. They also use web technologies in as much as they exist under a larger application. The mini apps team, though, exists in the M-Pesa app. So we have my Safaricom app, but we also have M-Pesa app. So under the M-Pesa application, we have mini apps. Mm-hmm. And these mini apps, if you go on the M-Pesa app under services tab, mm-hmm. the lower tab, so under services tab, there are other applications. So these other applications that exist within one great application, that's what we call okay. mini apps. And that is where I am
okay.
right now.
So mm-hmm. so if someone attended the Safaricom Engineering Summit, I recall,
yeah.
okay, I wasn't there, but I saw the video. I recall you presented under the M-Pesa team. So, and I remember you mentioned something we expected the Daraja people to be there, but then you are the ones who were sent. and yeah, so.
Yeah, in translation. Yes.
So technically, you are under the M-Pesa team. Okay,
yes.
So. In technical terms, M-Pesa is a super app.
Yes.
Okay. And so, okay. So I think that is what then we'd be talking about. So today, I guess we'd be talking about mini apps and how mini apps fit into the M-Pesa ecosystem. And mm-hmm. I guess in extension, how these mini apps work and everything. So, what is the motivation behind the mini apps?
Basically, the motivation behind the mini apps is to have the way we would have the M-Pesa. Basically, our biggest motivation is to have the M-Pesa app as a lifestyle app. So when you wake up in the morning and you want to do anything, from utility payments to booking a ticket for a movie to booking a flight, we want you to think of the M-Pesa app. Now, the way to achieve this is using, instead of cramping up all functions or all capabilities under one application, because there's so much what an application can do, we'd want to have this using the mini apps. So within the mini app, you're able to book a flight, you're able to book a ticket for a movie. So we're incorporating all this into our users having a lifestyle app. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. That would be the biggest.
Okay, I mean, it is interesting. So, going a bit back and talking about M-Pesa. So, last month I was at DroidCon, DroidCon KE, and I remember there was a panel that was talking about JS as a language for the mobile, and basically it was talking about building progressive web apps as MVPs as opposed to native apps. And also there's this article called Building Mobile MVPs for Sub-Saharan Africa by a dude, a project manager at Microsoft called Kirui. And it talks about the advantages of building progressive web apps as opposed to native apps, especially for Sub-Saharan Africa, just because it enables quick delivery. Yeah. And just because we really aren't there with good mobile app habits, like downloading updates and stuff like that. So just curious, what is M-Pesa a native app or a hybrid app?
M-Pesa itself is a native app. M-Pesa app. The M-Pesa application itself is a native app in itself, and I think that is where you'd find at times whatever users are using on Android and the user experience for people on iOS could be a bit different. But M-Pesa itself is a native app, but it's actually a special native app because not all native apps are able to house mini application.
Okay.
Yeah, but in itself.
So do they?
The super app.
Do they exist within the mini app as a different? Okay, this is. Could you just explain how they fit into that? Just
how they into
into the native app. Just all of them. How? I mean, I can't even think about how they fit into it.
Basically, mostly, let's just say this is a borrowed technology actually from the Alipay community. So in terms of how they fit, it's that meaning of one stop fits all apps, you know. So we decided to do this application. I'm also finding my words. I'm actually finding the words to just say that this how this super app is housing all these mini programs. But in it being, basically has integration points from it actually has some integration with the mini apps, and how we're able to have it in terms of super app and mini programs. These mini programs are housed differently, like. They exist in a container, and this container, basically we call it a workspace. Okay. So let's say, for example, I want a mini program today, I'll apply for a workspace. Now this workspace, there are various workspaces. There's the M-Pesa workspace, there's Alipay workspace, and they have within the workspace is where now you create your mini program. So they are housed in this workspace, and once you create your mini program, it is bundled up in some sort of quote-unquote, I'll call it executable file, and then that is what is hosted within that workspace. Now, this is made available to, in terms of releasing and what, it's not a huge process as it is to release, like, let's say, an application on if you're hosting it, let's say, on AWS. Mm-hmm. It's actually a very easy process to go ahead and release, and even in the creation of it. But what this super app gives us is a way to integrate these small applications, which are also, they are actually independent. They're actually, in as much as they are dependent, they are independent on their own. Like there are some functions that you can call. Like, for example, let's say payments. You can do payments within in-app as you're able to communicate with the super app. There are those sort of communications that you can get. Like if you are logged in into the M-Pesa app and you have a mini app inside the M-Pesa app, what happens is in that mini app, you're able to actually get, let's say, user phone number. You're able to get something like you can go ahead and do payments without having to do an SDK push. But those are just maybe like an advantage or so. But maybe to answer your question, it's some point of integration where you're able now to have mini applications within the major app. I don't know if I've answered that.
I mean, you've answered and then you've rushed through everything that I wanted to talk about.
Oh, sorry.
So I'm just going to slow everything down and then
no
you're
worries.
Going to shoot. Yeah.
Yes. Sure,
that is just a highlight of how everything comes together and how they fit in. So just going into the specifics, what sort of development tooling is required to build a mini app? So we are just talking about the sort of supported languages and the tools like the IDE or something.
Okay, so maybe I can start with the languages. They are often written in HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. They would be called differently. Like, let's say HTML, as long as you have HTML, CSS, JS knowledge, you're able to build a mini program. But I think in terms of the structure, we have the HTML is normally called AXML. Okay. So AXML is where now you have the structure of the view. And in as much as I say HTML, some of the tags are different. So it's the same way you'd write HTML code, with various and different tags. For example, you'll find that you don't have the H1, H2, H3 tags, the AXML. But what you can do, you can just end up giving it a class and then styling it to the CSS. The CSS is the same. It's called ACSS, but it's the same across. The same way you'd write web CSS is the same way you'd write it there. And, of course, JavaScript, normal JavaScript. I'd like to say vanilla.js. So if you're familiar with JavaScript the language, then you're okay with that. That's it in terms of the languages that you need or basically the skills that you need. In terms of the IDE, I think one thing I had forgotten to mention is building mini programs and is more proprietary. It's not open source yet.
Okay.
So with the IDE, you will have to exist in a workspace. Then once you exist in the workspace, you're able now to download the IDE from there. To give a visualization, the IDE resembles a lot the Visual Studio Code. So if you've used the Visual Studio Code before, you'd see a lot of similarities with that IDE. It's called the Mini Program Studio. With the Mini Program Studio, you'd see a lot of similarities, basically.
Okay.
With the Mini Program Studio. Yes, I think I've answered. Yeah. It's only available with Windows and Mac OS for now.
I'm curious. I don't know if this is too. Why AXML and why ACSS instead of normal HTML and CSS?
I think they're just trying to be unique. But in terms of AXML, because it's not everyday HTML. Like, for example, there's no div, but instead of div, there's a tag called view.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you'd use the tag called view instead of doing a div. Okay. ACSS, I'm also curious to know because it doesn't change a lot. It only shows, it's only called ACSS, but the ways of coding, the styling is still the same across. So it doesn't change. For those two, yes, I'd be curious. And of course, it always has JSON.
Oh, nice. So that is the languages supported, and but by the way, I understand they're called sort of domain specific languages, in the sense that they are very specific to the problem that the mini apps try to solve, and they are not general like HTML and CSS. Mm-hmm. So.
So I
think I'd also consider myself a web developer. I also do a lot of things on the web, and when I'm building for the web, I understand the application is running on the browser's engine. So if I'm working with Chrome, then that is V8, and if I'm working with Firefox, that is SpiderMonkey. So what is sort of the engine that is used to run the mini apps? Because they technically are not working on the web. They're working on something else. So what is that? How does that look like?
I almost asked you.
Describe your screen. Your screen.
No, I was like, can I just open something and then share my screen quickly? And then I realized, hey. Okay, so basically, you see, when I said the, you told me I had rushed into it, when I said the container that we have for mini programs, actually, that's a very interesting, I was wondering why no one has ever asked. It's because that's where we start. So on this workspace that we have, okay, let me try now and explain very well, not to lose anyone. So we create for you a workspace. So on this workspace, it's like the app container, sort of, it's the app container. And we normally just say there's render engine and JS engine, and that framework, and all this is housed in a container under this workspace. So on this workspace, we do once you're done, like on your IDE, you're done, you're coding, you finish everything. You're normally asked to upload a version. So when you upload this version, what happens is all this code you've written in AXML, CSS, in your DSL language, in your DSL, it is bundled up as a JS bundle, and then it is uploaded to that platform, to that workspace, which I was talking about. Now on this workspace, it is more of an SDK. I don't know if
sense. Yeah.
On this platform, it's like an SDK that is now rendered in to make it available to users and in both cross platform, for both Android and iOS.
Okay.
I'm trying to find the best methods or the best ways.
No, I mean, it makes sense.
I think they're so used to sharing our screen.
yeah, you have to now describe your thoughts.
Okay.
So this makes sense.
Yeah.
So that means,
the hardest
So that means if someone is building a mini app, mm-hmm. they don't have to worry whether it is being mm-hmm. delivered on Android or iOS. In as much as the M-Pesa app is different, is a native Android and a native iOS, the mini apps are just the same.
Yes, everywhere.
Apple. Okay.
So hata ungekuwa na Windows phone, again,
to do
the work.
Okay. Yeah. So like I mentioned, primarily I work on the web, and working on the web on something like Chrome, there's a V8 engine, and the V8 engine, the render UI engine and the JS engine are together. They work together.
Yes.
And so that means if I have a synchronous task that is taking too long, I may end up blocking some elements of the UI from rendering, right? So
yes.
I understand that is not the way many apps work in terms of the app container. And so, in terms of the app container, the render UI being different from the JS engine. And so I was wondering what sort of like performance advantage does that make a mini app have?
Oh, okay. Much better. much better question. So basically with this, in it being different, it has helped us to actually be able to, because one of the questions we normally get is, can we handle a lot of data? By basically, if we have a lot of data coming in, or this pagination, or all these things, and so by it just having that element of rendering, it's like it combines the both of them, the render engine and the JS engine into one app container, and together with the framework into one app container, it normally helps in terms of the way a mini app loads. It tends to load faster, and it tends to give users a much better experience as compared to loading an application that would be, or maybe making it or a huge application. So, like, for example, for you to bundle up that JS bundle and make it available on container, it has to be less than 6 KBs.
Okay.
No matter how big your application at that point currently is, it has to be less than 6 KB. So with that and it just being in the container, it will check. So if it needs to alternate or render at the same time, then that usually just helps in terms of speeds and loading an application to the user.
Okay, that is interesting. So I mean, okay, this thing is fascinating. So I need to comment on something. One, because you mentioned you're a web developer, and what you're describing sounds just a bit different from what other people do on the web. And so, one,
it's true. it took learning, but continue.
So now we've established the fact that you're not exactly building on the web. And so that means there are things that someone like me or someone else building on the web has access to that you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And these are stuff like the browser APIs or the DOM APIs. So you're not exactly doing DOM manipulations here. You're not doing that. And you don't have access to APIs like the window or the document.
No, but I can't do stuff.
Then what JavaScript are you writing?
that's very interesting. That's a very good question. So the JavaScript I'm writing is the JavaScript of functions. Let's say, for example, the same way you'd write a function in JavaScript is the same way you write functions here. So that's the JavaScript I'm actually talking about. How you write your functions, how you call them, how you, I don't want to say arrange, because, you know, sometimes JavaScript does, not really, but basically how you do everyday logic on JavaScript is the same way you're writing it here. That's the JavaScript, but you can't start saying window or finding the element or finding the, no. That doesn't work the same way. What I can say is it has, if you've worked with any framework, let's say React, or Angular. So the moment you start, let's say, for example, if you want to create a page, for instance, let me just use that. You want to create a page, a new page. The moment you want to create a page, you give it a name, it will come with a structure. And its structure is like in Angular, the same way when you create, is it a component? When you generate a component, normally generates with JS, HTML, CSS, and TypeScript, not JS, okay, and TypeScript. So on this other side, when you generate a page, it generates with its AXML. So it will be home.xml, for example, or index.xml, index.acss, index.js, and index.json.
Okay.
So it comes in that structure. So what you'd do when you're writing, like now, let's say now you want to write on the JavaScript side. Basically, it's how you creating functions mostly, writing your functions that you are going to link them to maybe when you click a button, or rather here we don't say on click, we say on tap. So when you're tapping a button, because you're assuming on your phone, assuming you're on your phone and like web app where you're clicking your touchpad or your mouse, here we're saying on tap. So when you're tapping, you assign that to a function. It also has basically some of these things that you do in a framework. Like it will have some things like set state, like the way React does. So it has states, it has a setting of states, it has creating of components, reusable components. So that's why I say it has a taste and feel of some frameworks, and that's why we call it more of a framework, more than just JavaScript, because the JavaScript we normally write with on web is kind of different.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Okay. So it's like part of it. I get it, and then part of it, like I think it is a process of trying to unlearn things that I know about the web in order to understand this, and I think we are getting there, and so. One, because we've established you're not doing normal JavaScript, so I'm assuming stuff like you can't do jQuery, but then I'm curious whether you how you do things on the server now. Yeah, like do you use Node.js, or is that different from yeah.
So what we do, how do I put this? So MiniApps is just a front-end channel. I think this is the best way I can see. So in as much as with web application, you can decide, yes, it's front-end, but then you decide to have server in terms of GraphQL, Node, those things. With MiniApps, you're just building, it's basically like building UIs and then connecting these UIs to existing APIs, but it is done, it's still done in-app. So like what we do on server is basically having some variables, but this is just for internal apps. With internal apps, we use the config server approach, but the config server approach, we are only like storing global variables environment variables that you're going to use, but it doesn't have the concept of connecting. If you need to connect to, let's say, a server, that means you're doing it in the same way you'd connect to an API request. Basically, you need to do like an API request.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So at this point, we have built our application with AXML, ACSS, and JS. And ideally, mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what is going to bundle this? Do you have do bundlers exist that are going to do this? Or...
No, we have one button called uploading a version that works.
Ooh, okay.
So the moment you say So let's say, for example, you want to see this application on mm-hmm. your phone, or you want to see this application like right before you maybe upload a version. We have something on the IDE called preview, and yeah, preview. So for you to preview, it generates a QR code, and then you scan using the M-Pesa app. There's a at the top right corner there's a QR code scanner. So you scan using this M-Pesa app. Once you scan this app, the app is you're able to see now the application on your phone. So if you look at the process, if you open the build log, let me call it that, the build log when this is happening, what it tries to do is to pack all these things and package them into, for lack of a better word, let me call it like an executable file, that it is packed. And then once it is packed, you're able to just run that QR code and see it on your phone. The same thing happens when you try and upload a version. So it is bundled up. So like I said, we have, they call it a magic button called upload version. the IDE does it for you. You don't have to think about how is this bundled, what is happening in the whole process. No, the IDE does it for you. And once it is, whatever the IDE sends now to the workspace is, because once you're on the IDE, there's a way you link the workspace. Let's say the workspace you're working in, and within the workspace, because one workspace can have very many mini apps. So let's say I want to create, there's a workspace for Safaricom. Yep. The workspace for Safaricom can have even 50 mini apps. Okay. So once on the IDE, you need to be able to choose the workspace. So the workspace is M-Pesa, and then the mini app, the mini app that I'm working on is called Baby Test One. So there's a place to choose app where you choose the app. So the moment you upload a version, it knows that this version needs to go to this application. And once it just the bundle happens, whatever is sent as a version on the app on the workspace, that is what is provided for the user now, that the user is now able to see now on their phone. So the same way the bundle was done for you to be able to run the QR code and scan, is the same bundle that is done as a version, so that now the user can just see it on their screen. So it's a, in terms of, let's say, okay, maybe I'll be going ahead of this. Okay. And
okay. I have so many questions.
I feel like I'm digging my own hole.
No, it is making sense. You're making sense. And so now I'm curious, yeah. How does collaboration mm-hmm. happen in terms of, because everyone has to be in a workspace, right? So how does mm-hmm. collaboration happen in terms of version control, and whether you use it, do you use Git or not? And yeah.
I get you. So in terms of collaboration, we use Git. Even the IDE supports Git and version control. So in terms of source code, we'll use Git and we'll send the source code to Git, of course, or GitLab, or you know, whatever you're using at that point. So the code is, we normally collaborate using Git. Now, in terms of the versions, whenever it is bundled up and sent online, basically you're sending, like I said, I'm using this word because I'm trying to find the word. But it's like you're sending an executable file that has already been bundled up into the space. So you're not sending the code, if I'm making sense. In terms of the workspace has a point where you can choose members. So the members of the workspace are maybe the members. It can be very many members. But for my mini application, it can have only the guys working on that application. So let's say we only want two people who will be working on test one application. So that is what will happen. The two people will work on the test one application. So only those two will be added onto that mini app. In as much as very many members exist in the workspace, you can now, within the mini app, like I said, a workspace contains mini apps. So in a workspace, you can have very many, you can have very many mini apps, and then within one mini app, you can now choose who are the members who are now in control of this mini app. You can still choose who are the members that can push a version, and those that can't. So that now we don't have someone who has code CDE 2 years ago, I keep push into a version that is there.
So, So there's this thing called a mini program studio. How does it fit into this ecosystem?
The mini program studio is the IDE.
Oh, the mini program studio is the IDE. Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess I have so many other questions. So that is the pipeline. Someone is pushing a version or something, and then like that is the release version of that application.
No, when you send a version, it might not be the release version. So once you upload a version, you'll have now to go to the workspace under your mini app, and then select if you want to release that version or not. So until you hit the release button, basically, it will still remain, you know, a new version that is just there at a release point.
So clearly you've written Angular code, and so I'm assuming you've also built stuff on Angular. So I'm just curious, from a personal experience, what are some of the things that you think are constraints when building mini apps? That you'd want to do them, but then you can't do them, but just because you're doing them in this environment that isn't exactly that as open as the web is.
Bootstrap. I miss it. You'd never know the beauty of something until you don't have it anymore. Like bootstrap material UI. These are some, of course, setting environment variables. These are just some of the constraints. But for me, mostly, because I enjoy CSS. I don't know how I enjoy CSS. Very frustrating. But I enjoy CSS. And I think for the better part of it, it is a good and bad thing, because you get to a point you rely so much on Bootstrap, Material UI, until you get to a point and then you realize, oh, maybe you have forgotten things to do with Flexbox. And so you'll find yourself writing a lot of the styling. The styling mostly you'll tend to do it yourself, in as much as there is still we call it there's one that supports, it's called Mini Ali UI RPX, Mini-Ali-UI-RPX. So Mini Ali UI RPX is some sort of bootstrap for the mini program. It will have the components. It will have like the card, the calendar, such things. But at times you implement it and it's not as accurate or as beautiful like you would on, you know, the online. There are people who have actually done some pretty good things, some great stuff. But some of these things you can't have them. You'll have to write the style yourself. Mostly, I think for the better part of me starting this journey, before I even realized, I used to write CSS a lot of it. And then another thing is some of these errors. Some of the errors can come back in Chinese. Then you have to translate them. And it can also be frustrating. Also, the Mini Ali UI, it also has some Chinese components. So a lot of translation is needed. And I think that's the biggest. Those are my biggest constraints.
Okay. And in terms of security concerns, because just thinking about how these things are being rendered and how they are being provided to the user, they exist in sort of this ecosystem, like all of them. So you have the Kenya Airways mini app, you have this mini app, this other mini app.
Yeah.
Does a security affecting one mini app affect others? Or are they very,
okay.
Does the environment secure them individually in a way that one wrong mini app does not affect another?
The latter is true. Maybe just to expound. So each organization or each partner exists within their own workspace. For the workspace, for you, we have, right now you are asked to set your own multi-factor authentication.
Yeah.
But we are working towards having it mandatory that happens. So even when an invite is sent for you on the workspace, you'll be given credentials, and then from the contact details you've given us, a code is sent to that number for just, you know, confirmation and all that. That is towards accessing the workspace. Now, the people that you invite on the workspace are also that's what we believe that you, or rather, we are trusting you to invite the people who are within your organization to work within that workspace. Anyone else who doesn't have a right, even us, if we create a workspace for you and I, as a developer of Safaricom, I'm not added to that workspace, I don't have visibility to that workspace. Only maybe the admin who has created the workspace has a visibility to that workspace. And again, even if I have visibility to that workspace, I need visibility to your mini app. And this mini app, only you can add, in as much as it's us who created for you the workspace. So we can actually see that workspace because we created that for you. But within the workspace, and you decide to create a mini app, and within that mini app, you'll need to add us within the mini app. So if that doesn't happen, we even don't also have access to the mini app. That is just how separate the separation of concerns. And one does not affect the other. They are completely separate entities. It's like separate. It's like AWS. Once you're in one container, that's yours.
Nice.
You don't have access to another person's container.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we've come from having a bit of an idea of what mini apps are, and we've sort of highlighted everything. And I mean, would you encourage people to build mini apps?
Yes, I would. In that, especially if you're a web dev, there's the learning curve is not steep. The learning curve is not that steep. In terms of going into release, this is something I wanted to mention. Then I realized I might go ahead of myself. But in terms of release, it's a click away. How we do this as well is once you're done and your version is complete and you want it to be online now, it goes under review. Under review is tests by our QA from our side. We also do we also have security scans in terms of the application itself. Of course, since you don't have access or you're not pushing code, we don't do security scans for code, but we do security scans for vulnerability testing. We do all these tests within the application before you can go into pilot, and then after pilot, of course, pilot testing is where we whitelist a few numbers. So the app is in prod pilot, but only the whitelisted members can see, of course. And then now after that, now you go into full release. So in terms of development to release, it's quite an easy step process. Yeah, you just need to be in touch with your CSS.
Nice. So I guess I have no other questions. I think you've really described everything properly in terms of, I think now I have an idea of what goes on. So I guess the other thing would be, there's this thing we do at the end of episodes where
why am I scared?
no, you shouldn't.
But continue.
I'm making it even easier. So we call it current interest section. You just tell us something that you're currently interested in. That is, it should be legal, first of all. So what is your current interest?
My current interest as of now, I feel like it's going to be a bit of cliche, but being in this season, it would be
World Cup. I knew it.
And I don't watch football, but who misses World Cup? Okay. You need to be. You need to.
You don't have to attack me.
But yeah, that's. I thank God you've asked me in this season, because I don't know what I'd have answered. Because it's a season. It's not like it's. My current interest is football. No, it's just.
Yeah, the next World year Cup. When you have you again, now it will be. It will be nice to see what you've been. It will be there. Maybe the Olympics period, so maybe. And you'll be like, yeah, London Olympics.
You know, I only watch Olympics when I'm watching if there's anyone Kenyan who's running. That's the only time Kenyans watch Olympics. Okay. For some reason, I don't know why.
Okay.
But okay. Yeah.
So,
am I allowed to ask what about
oh,
you?
Oh, okay. I wasn't ready to answer this because I have a dad joke, but then I'm just going to say it. So I've been watching. Not the World Cup. I've been watching this film by Jonah Hill. I think it's called Stats. It is a film about his therapist. And yeah, I think they talk about some deep stuff. One, because I think I would like to, I need the therapy. And two, because...
I don't know if I'm supposed to be laughing, but... It came out fine. Sorry.
And two, because I think they talk about some interesting things that I think I relate to. And so I have dad jokes. I don't know where you lie between hearing bad jokes and dad jokes, but then I have jokes. So what do you get when the sun bends over? No. What do you get when the sunrise bends over? You get the crack of dawn.
Okay, that's a good one. Well, that's a good one.
Okay.
That's actually a good one.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Did you invent
this? No. All my dad jokes are just stolen from Twitter. And I just deliver them.
That's a good one.
So anyway, thank you so much for coming on.
Anytime.
We've been trying to do this for 2 months, and I'm glad it finally happened.
It's been fun. It's been amazing. Yeah. Also glad that this session happened. It's kind of it kind of made me also want to know basically more. Basically the things that have actually just made me wonder, by the way, that happened. When you do that, by the way, I've just been doing
but
this
then you
thing.
Don't know, you need to know what is happening.
I'm like, what if this is something I'd also want to actually know. So some of these things, I'm glad it happened. So that maybe before I can move, the next time we'll talk, maybe I'll not be in this team. Maybe I'll be doing something else. Before I move, I need to find some of these things.
Nice. It's like you've been driving a car. Like you've been driving a car and then you realize you don't know the engine. And now you're like,
then you're like, V8 is not a car, it's an engine. And you're like, okay. Cool. I'm a research on that.
So yeah, finishing up, where can the people find you?
Me? Wow, okay. I normally find this is an attacking. I'm not on social media. You can find me, where can you find me? You can find me on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at @formweni. So I prefer the name Weni, so at @formweni. I'm not on Instagram. Facebook is a oh, zile accounts tulifungwa zile school kuna poka. You know, when you are poker friend, yes, but yeah. I think I'm only on Twitter. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Anytime.
Okay. Okay. Bye.
Bye.